listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session on The Nasty Table 12 gauge.
Breath is quickening and quickening. Your chest is pounding. You're having a heart attack. Anxiety disorder.
Let's get help.
I'm in the bag of store disgusted.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
Driving.
What?
Dude, what the fuck? If you 1 year from now want to have the Super Gator step on the candy store in Tampa, I invite you.
Was there anything of commercial interest that I might find?
High value whiskey?
He grabs two.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's worth
it. I don't give a fuck what I play. I don't want to get in fucking trouble for
Pin
him.
Pin it on me. I don't give a shit.
Just a fucking $100?
We're not getting fucking logged down for two bottles of whiskey. Go buy some. Three against one. If you really want to do this, let's do this.
Greatest hits collection with Born on the Bayou on it. Just down bottom, I write, I'm sorry about the gator.
30 minutes.
Flat.
Yep.
I've tested it.
I actually got a breathalyzer.
Do you?
Yeah.
Where, like a good one or like one of the Spencer's Gifts ones?
No, like a police grade breathalyzer.
Why?
Because I wanted it for the football Sundays because I thought
you know
it would be
what?
Funny.
I do remember that.
They are really funny. They're fun.
It was hilarious for our trip in New York. Me and Joe both pulled a .2.
Fucking raising to .2.
Holy shit!
I was cracking a .24. That was my peak. There's a picture of me like sitting on the edge of a table. It's my. Are you still on Twitter?
No.
I gotta show you.
Oh my god.
You can tell that I'm at a .24.
We're playing Kings.
You can tell.
That
I'm
was an evening.
Love it.
All right. So. I don't have anything. I don't have anything for the intro here.
Let's wrap it up. Let's go home.
Nah, we need to loosen it up.
I was gonna say
any current events. Any.
Let's talk about Israel.
I don't want to force any debatable topics. So here's what I'll actually do. I want to know, as it stands right now, mostly because I know that my guys who have experience in like Dungeons and Dragons, I'm curious now that we've been playing Delta Green for this long. I mean, you guys are getting experience under your belt playing the system. Do you guys like this more than Dungeons & Dragons, honestly? Because I know it's tough to kind of, like, compare apples to oranges here, but, like, me personally and everyone else who I play with knows this, I prefer Delta Green over D&D 10 times out of 10. And I love running it, I love playing it, and I feel like it's way more rooted and grounded, and that's why I like it more.
I think I like the setting more. It feels more weighty being in, like, a fucking Earth analog, like I'd like
it
alternate
feels,
timeline.
It feels real.
It does, like yeah, the lich is taking over the Citadel, but like that doesn't happen. But like people go missing,
people die, people get murdered, yeah. People you know kill themselves and shit like that. That's one of the reasons why I like it. I feel like the themes are easier to get to.
You're a fucking paladin, right? Yeah,
yeah.
That always throws me off.
It's more relatable, I think.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I like fantasy settings because they're fun to write for, but Delta Green in a realistic setting is more fun to run.
What do you think is easier to write for?
Delta Green.
Okay.
But I enjoy writing for D&D more than I enjoy writing for Delta Green. I can't write lore for Delta Green.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can write.
All the mythos and the Cthulhu, Nyarlathotep, all that kind of stuff, that's already out there, right? And this game kind of pulls from that, but I can't make my own pantheon. In Delta Green, you know what I mean? Dungeons & Dragons, I definitely can. What do you think about playing it? Did you enjoy playing Dungeons & Dragons when you actually played it?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's fun, but, like, now that I've played this, it's just, like, I'd rather play this. And it's just because, like, I don't know how to be a wizard. I'm just, like, I don't know. The roleplay's never really felt, like, satisfying for me. For Dungeons and Dragons, but this is like, you know, I like being a criminal and kicking old ladies in the head.
You know what? I want to get moving. Let's get a recap. So, G-Cell, en route to the FBI Tampa headquarters, find themselves once again within the lovely Hyundai Kona. Gauze behind the wheel. You see the building come up into view. It's currently 7:45 at night. What do you want to do?
We want to pull in now or set any time?
Yeah.
Okay. No. I'll pull into the parking lot.
Pull into the parking lot. The parking lot is set up pretty simply. There's not like a check or anything with a raised gate. Easy enough to just find a parking spot near the front. Unless you'd prefer to park near the back.
Park in the middle.
Park
is
in
it
the
like
middle.
Empty?
No. It's 8 o'clock. No, there's a couple cars there. Probably say 8 or 9 different cars.
Yeah. Park in the middle.
Park near the middle as you kind of pull up into that parking spot. You look off to the left, which looks like it is an employee's parking lot that does have some sort of active guard posted there.
Okay.
Find parking. The doors ahead of you are glass. No windows.
We ready to head in or?
Real quick, guys. Before we go in there. Is there anything we should leave out of our report? Out of our debrief? I just want to open the floor. Some weird stuff happened. We can all acknowledge it. Is there anything you guys don't want the program to know? Because there's something I really would like the program not to know about me.
I don't think there's any questions that ask us explicitly if we killed any old ladies. So,
more worried about
just answer the questions short and sweet.
I mean, do we even need to hide that? I mean, she was affected by all the...
And had knowledge of the unnatural.
And had knowledge. It said it used extreme prejudice. I mean, I feel like that's...
So our answer is yes.
I would just appreciate if you guys didn't. We'll be short and sweet. We won't go into too much detail. I think that's fair.
Just don't mention the booze.
It's for the best, probably.
Okay. Short and sweet.
All right.
I know I took some... Sorry, refresh my memory. Did I work on... Was I working on the official report
while we were in the car?
While we were driving, or was I just doing notes while we were driving?
I would say rough notes.
They want us to prepare a verbal anyway.
Verbal, yeah.
Yeah, they just want a verbal report.
Yeah, verbal report.
Okay, sick. All right, so I just have our notes, and we should be good.
Okay, so what are you guys doing?
Hop out of the car.
Yeah, hop out. Kind of still begrudgingly over the booze.
Gotcha. Everyone exits the car and makes their way inside?
Yep.
Yeah.
Door swings open to reveal a receptionist. Stairs extending off of the left side of this receptionist desk look like they go up to a balcony that you can see above. Different people. Wearing various states of business casual, mill about on this upper level. The receptionist, a woman, looks up as you enter. I imagine, based off of where you guys parked, how you guys were talking, Galleon would probably be near the front. Or if someone else opened the door first, I don't know. But I imagine Galleon was in shotgun.
I was probably in the back. Still kind of pissed.
So the receptionist, we're here to meet Special Agent David Carter.
Special Agent David Carver. Oh, yeah. He is expecting you. Just give me 1 second. I'll prepare a conference room, okay?
Thank you.
She stands up, walks away, leading up those stairs that I mentioned. What are you guys doing for, like, the next 5 minutes before she comes back?
Send that jug of water out in the lobby.
Yeah, you see it. And there's also a coffee vending machine right there too.
Oh, I'm just slamming cups of water from those like little
cones. Yeah. They got the cones.
Yeah, I'm just slamming them.
Is anyone looking at us?
Roll alertness.
Like, especially from that balcony that you said there's a bunch of people on. I'm all janked up. 26 on a 26.
26 on a 26 success. You notice, with her arms kind of pressed up, leaning over, stays there for maybe about 30 or so seconds, kind of looking down in the lobby, but also kind of locks eyes with you for a split second before breaking gaze and looking in some other direction. A woman, tall, short, black hair, dressed in what looks like a simple kind of blazer that comes down into long pants, breaks that gaze and continues walking, but it feels like she was looking out for a little too long.
Which way did she go?
Off to the left. Your left. Her right.
All right.
Time elapses before the receptionist descends back down the stairs. The conference room is prepared. You can follow me.
All right, thanks.
She begins stepping up. You guys crest over the edge of the stairs, and you can see a sea of cubicles, people still milling about. Looks like it's not at capacity. Looks actually kind of like probably like 25% of the cubicles are currently occupied. People standing up, mail carts passing by, people kind of brushing past you, following the receptionist down to what looks like a conference room. To the left, on the left, there's a door. She opens it up and kind of motions inside.
Step in.
Step inside. It's completely empty. Boardroom, typical of many that you've seen prior. Tables and chairs. The largest table in the center of the room is positioned long ways. So when you step in, you can see both of the heads are on the left and right side. High-backed kind of rolling chairs are situated in a semicircle. One of the heads does not have a chair at it. Where do you guys sit?
Two seats down from the head looking at the door.
Okay. Closest to the door.
Closest to the door.
I just fill in between them.
I think I'm going to sit closer to the head of the table.
Closer to the head. Okay. This leaves two chairs unoccupied. One at the head and one directly to the left of it. What do you guys do? The receptionist closes the door. You can hear her high heels click as she walks away.
Can I factory reset the phone?
Yeah, you kind of go through options, bring it down, factory reset. Sure. Anyone else doing anything?
No.
No.
5 minutes go by. 10 minutes go by. 15 minutes go by before the door opens. In steps two figures, the first of which is immediately recognizable as Agent Avery. He fixes his tie as he steps in, slicks back whatever's left of his hair rather quickly, looks at you all, gives you a nod, steps in and takes a seat at the head. Directly behind him is a female who Agent Gauze recognizes from looking over on the balcony. She has short black hair. She looks rather tall, maybe like 5'10", 5'11". Rather professional looking, and she sits directly next to him. Avery kind of looks out. He's in silence for a moment before he looks over everybody. Before we start this debrief, I just need to ask, is anyone in any immediate danger?
No.
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 All good here.
All right. So, and he reaches into his coat pocket, pulls out a tape recorder, places it on the table. Official debrief in relation to G-Cell's Operation First Blackjack. Conducted by Agent Avery for official record, please state your given code names.
Agent Gauze.
Agent Gonzo.
Agent Caulfield.
Agent Galleon.
We will now begin. Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that the objective investigate the murder-suicide of Thomas Meyer, his motives, and his knowledge of the unnatural was achieved successfully, yes or no?
Yes.
Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that the objective collect or destroy any references or evidence of the unnatural, as well as suppress any leaks of... And he stops for a second, and he kind of, you notice it, it's like a split second where he looks over at the woman next to him. Suppress any leaks regarding the program or unnatural elements was achieved successfully, yes or no?
Yes.
Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that they successfully maintained their formal cover throughout Operation First Blackjack, and that cover is not currently compromised, yes or no?
Can I kind of look to the other guys?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that Captain Christina Perez or any Fulvio and Nate employee would be beneficial as a Delta Green friendly, yes or no?
Yes.
Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that there exists any present threat to the organization discovered during Operation First Blackjack, yes or no?
No.
Would G-Cell, to the best of their knowledge, assert that they violated Delta Green security protocols in any measure themselves during activities on Operation First Blackjack, yes or no?
No.
Debrief concluded. Reaches out, clicks the tape recorder, puts it in his jacket, turns to the woman directly next to him and says, "Get the fuck out." And they share, like, this look. For a second, she stands up, brushes off her pants, gives him a nod, and exits the room. The door closes, and he kind of breathes a sigh. So what happened?
Where do we start?
Start from the beginning.
Case handoff went smoothly. Upon investigation of the murder-suicide of Thomas Meyer, we discovered the following. Thomas Meyer was working on a scent known as Lang 33 that we observed had the capability to give unintelligent species hyper-intelligence.
Do you have a sample?
Yeah, and I actually run out of the room because I imagine it's still in the Kona.
I will say that you guys brought in all the evidence.
Okay.
I think that that's not a stretch.
Okay. Yeah. Then I just kind of slide the bottle across the table towards him.
Full of ants.
Yeah.
Kind of reaches out. Do these things bite? Are they dangerous?
Yes.
All right, and they're contained in here?
For the most part, we've been keeping an eye on them.
For the past about 36 hours, I think none have gotten out.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll have somebody take a look at that. Continue.
We also brought back the ability to access the cloud with all of his collected works.
He was working on this officially in a capacity for employment?
Yes. So we have that cloud access. The recipe was AI generated, but anything in his cloud with any information regarding it is able to be deleted, and we have that access for you. We believe that his motives and intentions were good. Looking through his journals, writings, things of that nature.
Do you have those as well?
We do. He was just trying to create a good scent. It seems to have drove him mad, compelled him to mass produce this. We collected all samples or destroyed any that were left behind.
Good.
All trace amounts were either consumed or destroyed or obtained, as you can see there, and then whatever samples he just slid over to you. We did recover a corpse of a giant ant, roughly dog-sized.
Definitely an ant?
Yeah.
Okay, do you have it in your possession?
No, we destroyed it.
By what means?
Consumption.
You ate it?
We did not.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that, but continue.
The building containing... a restaurant that was shut down by the health board, as well as Thomas Meyer's apartment, has since been destroyed, along with a colony of various bugs that we found in the building.
Destroyed by what means?
Arson.
Okay.
As it pertains to our secondary objectives, or directives, save lives as many as possible. Say we did a bang-up job. As it pertains to any potential program friendlies, Captain Perez, no go. Did not go well. But Samantha Clemens, the CEO of Fulvio and Aid, definitely a person of interest.
Pass her information along, sure.
Absolutely. We as a cell believe she was very, very friendly to the investigation. We feel that she has major incentive to... remain quiet. Some of the things she was asking of us after we interviewed her definitely hinted toward a desire to operate with silence under the radar as it pertains to her own benefit and business.
How much did you involve her?
Very minimal. We interviewed her mostly to gain information on Thomas Meyer. She has access to pretty impressive resources, laboratories, tech.
chemicals. She's very intelligent. And as I said, there's some high stakes regarding her being a CEO of a perfume manufacturer like that.
So if either of these two women did not go contacted by the program any further, would you consider them loose ends?
No.
Is that a unanimous decision? And he looks out towards the three of you.
We didn't give them any information that would make them dangerous in any way.
Agreed. We tied up things with Perez, and Samantha Clemens just thinks we were there to talk about her employee.
Okay. And this building, arson, Thomas owned this building?
No.
Who did? Do we know?
Yes.
Restaurant owner.
Person owned the restaurant.
Ravenna Michelle.
Ravenna Michelle.
Thank you. Ravenna Michelle's.
She owned the restaurant underneath the apartment where Thomas Meyer was living.
Did you contact her at all?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. In what capacity?
We were interested in what was going on there regarding Thomas Meyer's, how much she knew Thomas Meyer's. Any motives around what Thomas Myers was going into, what his work was, how often he was there.
When we arrived on scene, the restaurant, it was called the Bergamo, it was actually closed for a health inspection reason, so we figured that was not a coincidence based on what was happening there.
Okay. Well, that's what the formal cover's there for.
Exactly.
Make use of it. My question now becomes, in the eyes of the liaisons that you had within the law, as well as whoever owned the building, what's the story trying to be spun here about this fire?
That is where it gets a bit interesting. In order to keep exclusively our eyes on what was going on in that area, we put together a case evaluation as well as a arson specialist, Agent Parker. And I give him a wink.
Well, that seems a good starting point. We can take it from there. See if we can get some hands on it and really try to spin it as best we can. Was anyone else involved in that scene? Or any scenes, for that matter?
A couple of cops on site, but nothing of interest. Passing conversation.
Did you let anyone into Fulvio?
No.
No.
Okay. So this Ravenna person, are they a loose end?
We spun it as if the fire was intentionally set by her.
Okay. I'll make a note of that. We'll see if we can get our guys on that. And you see him take out a pen and a pad of paper and starts writing something. Okay. What else?
I think that's it.
Okay. Now, to take a pin out of it, I need a definition on consumption.
When the ant was disposed of, we were near a body of water, and we let the gators consume it. We had already lit too many fires in the area, and we were risking exposure to the organization.
You see, like, the color kind of drain from his face? Okay, well, unfortunately, the program does not reward any points for creativity. If I could, I would. He reaches into his jacket, pulls out a map, unfolds it. Point to that body of water.
I circle the area.
Take out a pen, circle it. He takes it back. Okay. We're gonna have to trawl that lake. Just use fire next time.
Yeah, I realized afterwards it might have not have been the best decision, but we were running out of time, and as it was a rush decision.
He's folding the
definitely
map back up.
I would definitely exterminate whatever life is in that lake.
Don't consider it a mistake, but ideally any kind of artifacts or subjects, things that would be of interest to us, we would gladly take. Do you understand?
We do understand.
We felt, given the size, transporting this posed more of a risk than
the scent, and the scent that was also causing
nauseating effects upon us, too. We were concerned that it was too dangerous for us to transport as it was.
Yeah, take a look at how we have that bottle set up.
Understandable. Maybe we could have set up a dead drop or something. And he kind of like scratches his chin. All right. Well, I think you guys did good enough job. AI, you said? That's how he generated it?
Yes, and I'm going to hand him over the signing credentials for Thomas Meyer.
So this was just a random stroke of luck?
Unfortunately.
I think Maya phrased it as thousands of monkeys slamming away on a keyboard until they finally succeeded.
Seems about right. Anything else I should know? And he looks directly at everybody, kind of holding eye contact with you for a few seconds before going over to the next person.
Yeah. You slide me a piece of paper?
Sure.
Pen?
Slides you over his pad and his pen.
I draw the symbol on there the bugs were making.
Yeah.
Slide back over to him.
He grabs it, immediately rips it up. Where was that?
The insects in Meyer's apartment were making that symbol.
Were they making anything else?
There were more symbols, yes.
They made a... There were symbols. Also, there was a structure they had made.
Structure?
Yeah, about the size of a car and in the attic.
Describe the structure.
Small city.
Like a castle. Tiered walls.
He's got his hand up to his face.
We said hyper-intelligence for a reason.
Okay.
Pinpoint lights peeking out.
Words?
Words.
None that we could hear.
No.
I mean, the
there was a
sounds.
Phrase. There was a phrase that
the lady said.
We that Thomas Meyer also was talking about.
Yeah, they're aware of that. That's why we were on the case.
Yes.
That phrase came up in another point.
I uncovered it through scratching some lead over his journal.
We remove things for a reason.
There were.
Janice Brown, the neighbor of Thomas Meyer, was affected by this scent. She is deceased. Remains gone in the fire.
Okay, well, this seems important.
The ants were performing for her.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay. No, yeah. I stop. I got it. Yeah. I got it. Okay. Fuck. Okay. That's fine. That's completely under control on our end. We expected that a little bit, but thank you for your work. Do not say that phrase aloud. Try your hardest to forget about some of that stuff if you can. We keep you out of the loop on things to protect you. Please keep that in mind. Don't go scraping lead.
How are we to know what's been removed by the organization and what's been hidden by who we're investigating?
When a debrief occurs and you give me information that you received during an operation, and that information was received off of something that specifically said during your preliminary brief was removed from the scene, yes, that's something that we removed.
At the risk of sounding insubordinate or disrespectful, why not just remove the whole notebook? Anybody could have gone in there and scraped the lead.
He doesn't say anything. Anything else?
He said everything's fine. Do I get that vibe off of him?
Roll human intelligence.
Can I use a program point?
You can.
Thanks. 54 on a 50?
69
on
50. 54 on a 50. It's a very complicated reaction. There are layers to it, for sure. This is to say he's acting strange, sure. But you're not able to figure out whether that is a, I'm trying to keep you people calm, safe, and we have a fire on our hands, or this is a, yeah, everything's actually fine.
Okay. Just acting strange.
Where's Adam?
It's not important.
All right.
Gives one last look over the four of you.
I think I know the answer, and it's probably I don't need to know, but do we need to worry about that lady?
Which lady?
The one that you told to fuck off?
No. Well. No. Focus on other things. More importantly, it's come to the program's attention that G-Cell is lacking in certain nuances. And although your novelty approach to the program is useful, we have found it fit to provide mandatory special training for the four of you. It should have been mentioned in your briefing. Across the street, there's a hotel. You've all been booked rooms until next Sunday. Starting tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., you will be given guided instruction on a handful of things: surveillance, counter-surveillance, communication, and your choice of a few options. Now, the office here has been told that you're high-level CIA assets and informants, but they do not have any knowledge of the program, and we would like to keep it that way. You're free to do whatever you want in the downtime there, but please don't go anywhere. Please just stay in your hotel rooms. Don't go back to any scenes. Don't go back to any spots that you've been. Do not interact with anybody. Just please stay in your rooms. I need you to stay there. Don't make me regret saving you guys a flight to Langley instead. The special training is going to help you in any future operations, okay? Any questions at all?
If that lady speaks to us during this week, should we comply, speak back, ignore?
Her name is Agent Angel, and she's a member of ASL.
Okay.
Anything else?
Can I have my phone back?
Yes. He reaches into his pocket, pulls it out. Agent Garfield, please step next door. The rest of you, you are dismissed. I didn't even need to say it. That's fucking crazy.
Everybody fucked off.
They immediately just stood up and walked out. That's beautiful. The woman.
Hi.
The woman.
Yeah.
Who, yeah.
I
hi,
knew.
Hi.
I knew.
Hi,
yeah, I knew
hi,
it had to be her.
Hi,
what's
hi.
Up?
Yes, so the woman who was in there, you obviously
recognize. I didn't want to like ask, like, did I recognize
no,
her?
No, I know,
like,
I know.
Ruin anything.
I know. Yeah. I know. And I wasn't going to be like, and you recognize her
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like. The rest of G-Cell steps out rather quickly as you are quickly ushered to a nearby conference room directly next door. It is a much smaller room. The door is open. And you see Agent Angel sitting at a table there. What do you do?
Does Avery come in with me?
He stands by the door.
Like,
it looks like he's almost like guiding you there and just kind of standing by the door before you step in.
I'll just go in.
Walk right in. Avery reaches in to the door handle and closes it behind you, and you are left alone. Agent Angel, who I mentioned, you recognize, short black hair, rather on the tall side, looks mm-hmm. up and smiles.
Hey, what's his deal?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, sorry.
Have a seat. Sit down.
Yeah.
Please.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I apologize that we could not meet afterwards or back at that crab place, but...
Oh. I wish.
I have to travel a lot, so I just kind of wanted to get this out of the way.
It's no big deal.
How are you doing? Are you okay?
It was an interesting mission. I didn't really do anything that, you know, is sticking with me. Like, I don't have anything to really feel too bad about.
You get hurt at all?
I didn't get hurt, no.
Okay. Well, that's good, at least. It's always good when... You can wrap up and come away without any scratches or anything.
Yeah.
How are
I did a bad interview, though. I was interviewing this lady, and I just I think I pissed her off off the bat, and she didn't like, you know.
It happens.
But
as a member of the program, we have certain luxuries. You don't have to answer to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on an opera like that, you don't have to answer to anybody. Someone doesn't give you the answers that you want, forget them.
Right.
So we'll wrap this up quick. I just got a couple questions I want to run down with you.
Yep.
During that operation, spent a lot of time, same crew as last time. How did they all perform?
I can say without a doubt that Agent Gauze has done everything in the directive of the program. He's an asset. I think he has valuable skills. In terms of the other two, I believe they are also valuable, but they have strikingly weird motives at times that compromise moments of the investigation and kind of weigh things down. I've had to talk people off the ledge a couple times about just doing things that weren't safe for anyone.
In terms of physical safety or exposure of...
Exposure. Just like unneeded. Like, there's times when you can steal and get away with it, and, you know, it doesn't come back on you. I don't believe in biting the hand that feeds, to put it in a way.
Anything other than sticky fingers?
Weird, just unnecessary exposure risk for personal motives.
Looks like she's thinking for a little bit.
I don't think it's clear to everybody or those two how much grip you guys have, number one, and how important our objectives are.
I see.
Because, I mean, as far as I know, you guys could put me in a ditch and no one would ever find out.
We would never do that.
I understand that, or well, I hope so, but I know that you could if you wanted to.
Maybe. But we definitely wouldn't do that over sticky fingers or strange motives, as long as they are still, at the end of the day, productive members of the program.
Right. And that is how I feel. I just think you might want to drive home. I don't know if that's what you guys believe in, but I think it needs to be enforced.
Perhaps. We'll take a look at it. Your feedback is important. Probably more than you think.
Thank you.
Can you tell me about their eyes?
Their eyes?
Anything about their eyes?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't really look into another man's eyes too often, but I haven't noticed anything.
Hands?
Normal people.
Any of them spend too long outside? Especially when it's dark?
No.
Okay. I know, weird questions, but I just, you know.
I'm sure you have contacts that I do not have.
Absolutely.
And I can appreciate that.
All right. About yourself, how you're coping with all of this?
I'll be honest. I thought there was going to be some sort of monetary payments involved.
So far for you, there has been, I believe.
She oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Takes her...
No, yeah, that was
reaches into her jacket and pulls out a stack of banded cash.
Forgive me, I misspoke. And I could say that this links to our prior conversation. the other boys are having sticky fingers because they're not getting paid either.
Well, if they want to get paid, all they have to do is ask.
You know? Sometimes I forget how I end up places. So, you're right.
Well, Agent Garfield, it has been an absolute pleasure. We will meet again. I promise you. Just do me a favor. Try to stay grounded. It's hard to keep your footing.
I'm sure the special training will help.
Sure. But beyond that, more so, be careful where you place your trust.
I build trust with people where they can trust me, but I don't trust back.
She taps the banded cash, kind of pushes it towards you. It's a good mindset. She claps. You're free to go.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Garfield.
I'll see you in the future.
Yes, sir. Stand up. Make your way out. So, the three of you leave that conference room prior to Agent Garfield leaving. So, where do the three of you head?
The hotel.
Make your way outside, the three of you?
Yes.
Yep.
Standing on the sidewalk. Directly across the street, you can see a courtyard by Marriott. It's pretty tall. Looks like it's maybe about like 7-8 stories tall. What do you guys do? You notice the Kona is gone. All of the contents of the Kona are on the sidewalk.
Love that. I'm grabbing doctor's bag.
Yeah, grab my roller bag and start heading across the street.
Walking across the street, there's a crosswalk maybe half a block down. Jaywalk?
Oh, yeah, we're jaywalking.
How busy is it?
I'm going to safely use the crosswalk. And I'm not going to die.
I'm gonna pick up with you in literally just a second, probably as you guys are beginning to jaywalk.
Not giving him that fucking opportunity. Are you kidding me?
Guys walk directly across. Roll not getting hit by a fucking car.
I look both ways.
I'm not fucking doing this.
No, it's not too busy. It's easy enough to just kind of make your way across the street. Garfield, you exit that conference room and you are met with Agent Avery, who just gives you a nod, extends out his hand with your phone.
Ah, thank you.
Sure. You're dismissed.
Have a good night.
You too.
And I head out. And safely use the crosswalk.
You head out, probably as you guys are entering the Marriott, walking in, concierge, etc. by various means, Garfield safely crossing the crosswalk. You make it in, probably as you guys are checking in.
I just walk up to the receptionist. Slide my FBI badge across the table.
And she says that they don't have a reservation under that name.
I look flabbergasted. I'm like, oh.
I walk up to the receptionist. I go, ooh.
That's what he fucking said. You go, do you have a name under Johnny Walker?
I do, yes. Can I see some ID?
Yeah, and I hand her my license.
Yep. And so that's basically how you guys go through this process and find out they are under your legal names.
What is the receptionist's response when I do that?
Unmoving, unshaking, unflinching. Doesn't really care.
Okay. I take... Can I roll human in on that? Like, I'm like kind of flabbergasted
by this whole thing. Go ahead. Roll human intelligence.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to call that out.
No, it's a perfect call.
I got a 9 on a 53.
Her nonchalance is notable, palpable, almost intentional nonchalance.
I just grab all my shit and just like shakenly walk upstairs or to the elevator. I do take note. Marriott's typically have a bar in there, right?
There is a bar as well as a hotel restaurant.
Oh, I'm beelining it to my room and drop my shit off.
Gotcha. Everyone else checking in under the same kind of procedures there?
Yeah, I'm trying to go last, though. I'm just hanging out by this coffee bar or something.
Okay. I'll go.
Check in.
Yeah.
Go through the process. Get your room key. Galleon, check in. Go through the process. Get your room key. Check in.
Yeah.
Could I have a repeat key on our directive? It was go across in the woman's training or whatever.
So the directive, and we will kind of get to any kind of role play stuff that you want. For most of this, though, we're going to kind of step away from role play and kind of just get down to the nitty gritty mechanics of it. So you guys are all checking in, getting comfortable. You guys all have separate rooms, king size bed, full shower, complimentary little peanuts and pistachios and little shot glasses and cute little things on the bar, and they've got that fucking pressure thing that when you pick it up, they charge the card on the room and all that kind of stuff. Of note too, when you guys check in, they do not ask for any kind of collateral, like card for payment or anything like that. It is very nonchalant, and it is very noticeable how that process goes down.
As soon as I walk in the hotel room, I go to the little ice thing. What?
It was just some sounds up there. My mom's decorating.
He's got animals, bro.
I got enemas, bro.
I go to the ice thing, I take the bag out, and I put it over the smoke alarm.
Gotcha. Like I said, we're going to kind of step back from the actual like role play mechanics of this, just because we're not going to role play an entire week at a hotel. I apologize. That's how it's going
to
go.
I just wanted to put everybody on. That's how you do it.
So essentially, you guys have been asked to, you know, show up for this training across the street back at the FBI headquarters. It's going to be a whole week-long thing. That's basically what Avery told you. 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. every day for 7 days. On the final day, you're given plane tickets home. This is what he said. He said that you're going to be given guided instruction on surveillance, counter-surveillance, communication, and your choice of a few optional courses. That's what he laid out to you. And over the next week, we might role-play some moments here or there. If anyone has anything that they want to do, you know, pop in, say something. If you want to make a call to a loved one, if you want to do anything specific off books or anything like that, just, you know, chime in, let me know. But for the most part, like I said, you guys just chime in, tell me if you want to do anything specific. The first day, you guys go across the street. There's a bit of awkward steps around to kind of get to that point, but you are given a boardroom with literal classroom seats, sat down in front of a group of instructors who introduced themselves. As Avery said, they've been made aware that you guys are CIA assets, supposed to be given special training on certain things. Across this week, you are given specific training on the following. You're given training on surveillance. These handlers, case handlers, different agents give you instructions on how to tail targets without detection while walking and while driving. They explain it in depth. They go into specific details. They spare no expense to make sure that you are comfortable with all these core concepts. Like I mentioned, tailing, disguises, and different cover procedures, how these high-level CIA assets typically do this, how they fall in, how they blend in, how they change their appearance quickly. Additionally, you're given information on how to plant hidden microphones, the best spots to do it, spots that are undetectable, spots that are easy to find as well on top of that, if you want to plant fake ones. The next day covers counter-surveillance. You guys are taught how to recognize and lose tails, otherwise referred to as dry cleaning, how to notice that you're being followed. Additionally, you're taught how to be alert and how to notice surveillance when you're around, different tricks that people who are watching you will typically use and how to pick up on them. The third day, you're given information on communication. This one takes a while to kind of drive home, the idea of brush passes, passing notes to each other, how to do it conspicuously, how to do it carefully, dead drop procedures, the concept of not really trusting cryptography, because no matter how good you think that you can structure a coded message, it can always be broken. Now, these courses are not going to have any effect on your physical gameplay, rolling, anything like that. But I want to know if you guys have any specific questions. The purpose of this is to kind of make it so you guys were kind of taught how to do this stuff. Okay. Like I mentioned, I'm going to just run through it one more time. Tailing without detection, disguises and cover procedures, planting hidden microphones, recognizing and losing tails, alertness to surveillance, brush passes, dead drops, and the faultiness of cryptography. Any specific questions?
You said this doesn't affect our character in terms of our level in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Okay.
These ones don't. But gotcha. As Agent Avery said, you guys will have your choice of optional courses to take. You guys are taught pretty extensively. I mean, this is 10 hours a day of rigorous instruction. These people who are talking to you, like I mentioned, instructors, agents, handlers of various levels, are not very personable. They see this as teaching a group of kindergartners. They start at very, very basic ideas until by the 10th hour, they expand on more complicated ones. And you guys all feel like you retain the information well enough. One of the reasons I'm doing this is so if you guys want to do any of those things, you can say, based on the instruction that we received at the end of Operation Ideasthesia, how would I go about doing this?
General question.
Shoot.
Do all agents receive this sort of specific training? Just to kind of, or is this just kind of...
I'm not going to answer that question.
Fair.
Any other questions on these first 3 days of training?
Do they call us by names at all?
They do not. They do not refer to you by any name whatsoever.
Maggot.
Now, during these first 3 days, are there any conversations that you guys have? How are you guys spending your time? How are you guys spending your off time, I should ask? And kind of how are you conducting yourselves during these meetings, these instructionary courses?
I check in with my girlfriend. How many days have we been away now? Has it been, what, three plus three,
so like six?
6 days. Okay, so a week away is nothing. That's kind of standard for my line of work.
For your line of work, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Watching TV, chilling.
Are you guys interacting with each other in any capacity?
I've been hanging out at the bar after training. And I try and put it on the company card.
What company?
I say put it on my tab.
Bill it to my room?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. And they are more than happy to oblige.
How's the bartender?
Bartender is different every single night. The first night, it's a woman who's like younger and looks like she's fucking up while pouring the drinks. The second night, it's an older man who is a master. And he asks you questions, but doesn't really not prying kind of asking, but is friendly enough. The third night, the bar is fairly packed. You have the feeling that there's some sort of event in town and that there are people who are coming to this, so it's kind of hard to get a seat at the bar, but eventually you do get one. There's a bartender that, you know, looks like they're kind of struggling to try to keep up with orders.
Do I notice any familiar faces while I've been down there?
No, not at all. Unless one of the three of them do. So, on to the remaining four nights. This is where I extend it over to you guys and ask, which of the following optional trainings do you wish to pursue? I'm going to read through them. And I'm not going to explain them. I'm just going to read the title. And they're kind of posed to you from these instructors as we've been instructed to give you optional courses, whatever you think is going to be useful on any kind of endeavor that you take on, choose from the following. And they kind of put out a piece of paper in front of you. Firearms training. Federal bureaucratic processes. Analytic tradecraft. Breaking and entering, enhanced interrogation, and organic disposal techniques.
Joe, I didn't get the throw in there. Didn't really get to me. I wanted to put in there that Galleon's been going down to the bar every night in a hoodie, hoping he doesn't see him.
roll alertness for me, and you roll disguise.
Five on a 60.
Disguise?
77 on a 10.
critical fail. You notice almost immediately when he gets down there. Do you make any move?
Question for you. What day of the week do I notice that he's been going down every night?
What would be the first night?
I've been going down every night except for the first night that we got to the room.
With a critical fail, I'm going to say that the first night of training you notice him.
Oh, yeah, I walk up to him immediately. What's going on? Oh, hey, how you doing, boss? And I just put a drink down.
Completely flush any confidence you had in your hoodie disguise.
Just extremely you notice, casual.
With that critical fail, you notice your hoodie actually says, "My name is Galleon."
Yeah, this is
Hello,
university.
My name is Pierce Claremont.
Yeah, this is university.
I'm a secret agent. Yeah, I'm a secret agent of Delta Green.
I'm quiet. I'm just like, hey.
Everything all good? I mean, this training's been a little crazy, but I mean, I haven't seen anybody down here. I figured somebody'd be watching us.
All good.
All right, well, I'm going to go have another drink. And I slam what's left of my Manhattan and order another.
And do you come down the other nights?
Every night.
And do you approach him any of the other nights?
No, but I notice him every time and just, like, give him a nod. Yeah. Every single night. It does he wear the same hoodie every night?
Definitely.
Hood up.
Same way every
at the bar.
Catch him wearing sunglasses at 9 p.m.
Put your exact same seat every night.
So, what optional courses do you guys choose for your final 4 days of instruction? One more time, that is firearms training, federal bureaucratic processes, analytic tradecraft, breaking and entering, enhanced interrogation, and organic disposal techniques.
I want to go with analytical tradecraft, but can I, like, pick a niche on that, or is that very general?
It is very general, and it is almost on purpose. There is no description for what this course will entail. I'm not going to give you one. Also, okay. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves out of character, that's completely fine.
Firearms.
Enhanced interrogation.
Tradecraft.
Gotcha.
Going firearms, too.
Firearms. Okay. So, for my guys who take firearms training, it is a 4-day course on using various firearms. They teach you how to shoot pistols, the correct stance, the correct loading procedures, even like analyzing different calibers and what weapons go, you know, in what situations. Second day covers a lot of different shotgun uses, 12 gauge, 410, 20 gauge, all sorts of covering, when to use it, how to do close quarters combat with a shotgun. The third day is long range. They take you to a range that's in the basement of this facility, and it goes all the way out 300 yards, and they teach you how to take into consideration the windage and the distance and bring it up a couple notches or set your zeroing on a scope. It is very extensive. The fourth day covers disassembly and reassembly of firearms. It is 10 hours of taking apart different firearms and putting them back together. You guys do not do this together. You guys are separated during this whole procedure. I need both of you guys to roll firearms for me.
That's cocked about. Say 9 on a 40. I believe that's bad.
97 on a 20.
97 on a 20. Galleon, across these courses, going through it, your firearm score is going to raise by 7. Whatever it is, raise it by 7. Gauze, they go through a lot of stuff that you know. Unfortunately, you take the time, and your firearm score, however, is still going to raise by 2. Analytic tradecraft. Gonzo, they take the time. It is a 4-day course on reading body language, how people act, how people move, sweat, gasps, breath, quickness, eyeing in on their chest to look at their heartbeat, how people react under different stressors, how to tell if someone's lying, how to tell if someone's telling the truth. But most importantly, how to lie. they take the time to break down a couple different techniques on coercing the truth out of people. And it takes 4 days to kind of hammer this home, all these different things. I need you to roll human intelligence for me.
Ninety on a 53.
Your human intelligence score is going to increase by 7. You have the feeling by the end of this 4-day course that you have a better understanding on how people react to questions, how people give answers, and how people try to hide both of them. Enhanced interrogation?
Yeah.
Garfield, you are taught a lot. Interrogation techniques, torture methods, waterboarding.
Sprite waterboarding.
General beating. How to waterboard with Sprite. But more importantly, you're taught interrogation techniques that involve inciting panic, causing humiliation, stripping people naked, trying to lie to them. Good cop, bad cop is covered. I need you to roll sanity for me. Yeah. 45
on
a 59. You're not going to lose any sanity. Now roll human intelligence for me.
You wanted to spray board the poop lady so bad.
Triple zeros.
Success. So, you go through this process, and a lot of this stuff that they're covering doesn't really faze you. And maybe you kind of already understood some of these concepts. How to hurt people. How to get people to tell you things because you're going to hurt them. How to make people think that you're going to hurt them. How to make people nervous. How to lie to people. You're going to gain 2 points in your human intelligence score, and now you have access to a wide array of interrogation techniques that you feel comfortable that you could employ. Any questions about the special training that you received?
They teach me how to run the rabbit.
They teach you how to run the rabbit.
Oh, let's go.
Your special training ends. When you return back to your hotel rooms that night, on each of your pillows, save for Gonzo, a plane ticket home. What do you guys do?
Cash out at the bar downstairs.
They charge it straight to the room and they say, sir, there's no charge.
Oh, no, I mean cash out. Like, I'm going ham.
Oh, get wasted?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What time's the flight?
The flight is tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock.
Do I have a note on my bed in terms of when I'm supposed to... Yeah, okay. Nope. I can leave whenever.
I'm tired from training, so I just, you know, get a drink and I go back up to my room.
Okay. Tell me how that morning goes. After you guys, if you guys want to do anything in that night... Like I said, chime in. This is pretty accelerated on kind of how we're progressing through the days, but it's been a full week.
Yeah, I still haven't seen anybody down there other than Hoodie Man.
Correct. So then tell me how the morning goes.
Leaving quietly.
I get free hotel breakfast.
Yeah, I wake up late and get the Continental like as soon as it's about to end.
I'm probably out of there before it even starts. When it even starts, I'm out of there.
Gotcha. Gauze and Galleon sneaking out rather quietly as Gonzo and Garfield bump into each other at the Continental breakfast, reaching for the same plate of bacon.
Hey there.
You can have that one. Yeah, I really just need some coffee right now.
Oh, okay.
Grab some very bland... Marriott eggs and their microwaved sausages.
So, I want to know, how do these plane rides home look? We're going to go around the table. We're going to start with Gauze. Get your ticket. Check out.
Check out. Pretty quiet. Just head on the plane and probably like in... How long is it? Not a long flight. Probably like a couple hours.
From Tampa to Rain? Yeah, no, like 2-3 hours.
I'll probably text the wife when I'm like touching down, like back in a bit.
Gotcha.
A couple hours.
Konzo?
Do I have like a job to do as I'm going back to the my state?
No, you haven't.
Single seater.
You haven't been given any kind of directives other than, you know, your plane is refueled and ready for rebase back from where it came from.
Yeah, throw my shit in there and start flying back.
Garfield.
I head to the airport and head on my merry way back to New Jersey.
Kelly?
He's quiet. He's riding the plane, window seat, looking out. He's thinking, looking at some missed text messages. He's hurt.
So, unlike the end of last opera, this one ends with no cheers, no celebrations. You all make your way home in your various states. In your various states. And that's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of 12 Gauge, a Nasty Table production.